Intervju Radija Študent.
Dober večer in lepo pozdravljeni na frekvenci 89,3 MHz na Radiju Študent. Danes smo vam sicer obljubljali, da bo James Lake prišel v živo k nam na radio, ampak je žal obstal na srbsko-hrvaški meji, tako da smo se z njim mogli pogovarjati kar preko telefona. Sicer pa bo danes nastopil v Mariči na Metelkovi. Pogovarjali smo se pa o marsičem, tako da dajmo prisluhati, kaj imel zapovedati.
Hello!
Hello, how is it going? I heard you got stopped in Serbia.
Oh, yes, we always get stopped in Serbia. But we got through that one. We have one more border to go across today, and then I think we're at the show. It's going okay.
Okay, so you're used to it.
Yeah, we're used to it.
Okay, so I was reading about your biography, and I read that your dad was a preacher, am I right?
That's right.
And that you actually started with a gospel music. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, that's all true. My father is a preacher. He's still alive. He has a Baptist church, Protestant, you know. And I grew up in the church. My family was pretty musical. My mom sang. Mm-hmm. And they started giving me piano lessons when I was six. And it was all, you know, gospel and spirituals. And So I grew up playing in the church on the piano and the organ there, mostly gospel. Well, completely gospel until I was about 16 years old and then started finding rock and roll and kind of made that transition. And blues is all part of that gospel rock and roll thing, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how did your family accept that you found rock and roll?
You know, my dad finally said, my parents have never been to one of my shows, but my dad did finally say a couple of years ago, he said he was proud of my success, mm-hmm. even if I play the devil's music.
Oh, so they still believe that rock and roll is the devil's music, that it haven't changed.
Yeah. No, they totally believe it.
Okay, what was the first band of rock and roll that you discovered? Do you remember that?
The first band, I mean, it's kind of hard to say because I think my first experience with secular music was just whatever was on the radio.
Uh-huh.
However, my dad, before that, so my dad did have in his record collection, he had three secular records. Everything else was gospel and classical, but he had a Willie Nelson record. Because we were from Texas. I was born in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a Willie Nelson record, a Ray Charles record, and a Platters record.
Mm-hmm.
Platters greatest hit, you know. So those were the first things I heard that weren't either about Jesus or just classical instrumentals would have been Willie Nelson, Ray Charles, and the Platters.
Okay, that's kind of a cool collection of vinyls for not gospel music, I would say.
Yeah.
And what was, like, your opinion about religion? I mean, now I know that you were, I mean, your family is apparently still quite religious.
Yeah. Every male in my family is a preacher, and every female is married to a preacher. And I was a preacher in my teenage years. I preached in my dad's church on Sunday morning a couple of times, but that was a long time ago. My view on religion, I think some people need the form of it in their life. And if you're looking for God, maybe you can find it there, but it's not a very efficient way. And I think mostly religion is about control and fear.
I would agree with you on that one, yeah. But your music is more about what, let's say, women?
Oh, I would say life. I'm not a very prolific writer, and I write in maybe the style of the old blues guys where you're singing about your problems in an effort to dance, you know, and kind of just shake it off. And so my music's usually about just my little stories And it can be women and drugs and alcohol and broke down cars and all that kind of shit. But
and how did you like develop your sound? You have a very, very specific sound when you're playing. You said you started with a piano and then you found rock and roll. And what was the process of like having this James Legg sound? I know you were started with in a band, Black Diamond Heavies. Am I right?
That's right.
So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, when I started playing in groups like the Black Diamond Heavies and the Immortal Lee County Killers, I bought a Fender Rhodes. Mostly just because Ray Charles had one, and they sound really cool, but they're really big and they're really heavy. There's no computer in it, you know, it's just made of wood and metal. And I got my sound, I guess, just kind of on accident, out of necessity, one by one. First, the bass player left the band, and so I started covering the bass lines on an organ, and then the guitar player quit the band. And I needed, there was a lot more room sonically for the Rhodes to fill, a lot more space. So I started running it through some effects and just turn it up loud and hit it hard. And yeah.
And that was it. But did you like, were you thinking about that you're going to be like alone on the stage? Because you said that that people left, but now you have a drummer with you on the stage.
I've always kept a drummer. I've always kept a drummer. Doing it solo without anyone else, for me, it's a different experience. It's a little more difficult to just rock out. So it's a different show if I'm alone, and I have more fun just rocking out. For that, I like to have a drummer. So I usually keep it as a two-piece, maybe some guests every once in a while.
Okay, and you're like having a lot of concerts. I'm following you on your Facebook page, and I was wondering, like, how do you see this all music, let's say rock and roll, of course, rock and roll music and shows, like you've been in this music industry for quite a while now, how it's changing? What do you see, like, at your shows or maybe like with colleagues, music colleagues?
You know, it is changing. The format that it's available has changed drastically. You know, if you put a record out, it's available immediately worldwide. And that's kind of crazy. That's happened within my short little career that it's done that. Of course, with that, all the royalties disappeared. So it feels like nothing has quite yet found its balance. The technology is moving so quickly. Mm-hmm. But for live shows, that's kind of what I'm selling. I enjoy making records, but the live show concert, that's what I like to do. And I think there's always going to be a need for that. I think, of course, different places are different, but maybe the younger generation isn't quite as concerned about a live show right now, you know, but rock and roll is going to be okay.
You think? Okay. That's quite an optimistic view, I would say.
man, if you go to a real rock show, I'm saying rock, it doesn't have to be. If you go to a show and you see a musician on the stage that is just completely giving it everything they have, funneling it right out, and you can feel that. It's the same shit you can feel in a good church service, like an energy.
Yeah, and, okay, I agree that on that one, but I think that people firstly must enjoy that kind of music. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like less and less young people like the rock and roll music. Like, I don't
know. You're right.
On your shows, I don't know if you have a lot of young people in the audience, but as far as I know, for Slovenia, it's like mostly older people.
Yeah, you're right in that the younger crowd isn't isn't quite hip to all of that right now. I mean, but that's okay. Maybe we go back to the garages for a while. I mean, it's rock and roll is going to be okay. I don't worry about that.
Okay, and how was your last experience? You had two shows in this month in Slovenia, one at Ilirska Bistrica and the other one at Škofja Loka.
Yeah, they were both great.
And tonight you're coming to Marica, and it's quite a smaller place, I must say.
Yeah, and I've been hearing about this place forever.
You haven't been there?
No, I've never been, and I've played in Ljubljana a few times, but never at this place. But I've been hearing about it for a while, and what's her name? Marica?
Marica, yes.
Came to my last show in Ljubljana, and we met and spoke about it and agreed that next time I try to play there. So here we go.
Okay. I think you'll be a bit surprised of how small the place is, but I think it's going to be great because the energy of the place is, I think, right for you. I mean, your
music.
That's
great. I mean, I like the small show. I like to smell the people. I like to feel it. So
that's great.
I'm looking forward to it.
I wanted to ask you, you started talking about that you prefer live shows than albums, and you had your last album in 2016, Blood on the Keys is the title of it.
That's right.
Can we expect something new from you soon?
Yeah, I've got several things cooking right now. I haven't told anybody yet, but I'm doing some 45s this year. I have a theory that we might be back in the age of the single. People are putting songs on playlists more than they're listening to full albums right now. And anyway, I got some 45s coming out. I got one coming out on an American label later in December. I've got another one coming out on a Spanish label in the spring, another one coming out in the summer. So I'm spitting out some 7 inches for James Legg this year. And then I've got a couple of other full-length records, two in the works with two of my old bands. We're going to be recording as soon as I go back to the USA. Quite a bit of music coming.
Yeah. But are you more concentrated now in Europe or USA?
Well, I go where they ask me to come. I go where they call me. And I get more phone calls from Europe. And I love Europe, so I spend a good deal of time over here. USA is a strange place at the moment, and so I just haven't been too bothered to be there. But having said that, of course, I'll be touring in the U.S. this year later.
What do you mean, a strange place, like a political situation that's going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, political, but it manifests on the streets, and it just feels like a strange place. I didn't know there was so many of the other side in that place.
What do you mean, the other side?
People that don't exactly feel the same way that me and my friends feel. I woke up the morning of that, after that last election, and the USA wasn't the place that I thought it was. There was more ignorance there than I even knew there was.
I understand. But do you do you still feel that your home is in USA?
My home is on this planet Earth right now. I've been all over it, and I'm going to keep moving. I don't own a home. I have two vans in different countries, and I just keep moving. So I've got one.
Have a home like an apartment?
No, not at all. No, I just keep moving.
Okay. That's a nice, let's say that's a nice sentence for an end of interview. You just keep on moving.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, thank you for your time, and
sure,
I wish you a safe trip to Slovenia.
Thank you so much. I guess we're heading for the border.
Okay, great, and we see you. We see each other at the concert.
All right, see you there. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Takole ste poslušali intervju s Jamesom Legom, ki bo danes večer nastopil v Mariči pri Metelkovi, na Metelkovi. Vstopnina danes znaša 8 evrov in seveda, ker je Mariča mejhan plec, priporočam, da pridete čim prej, da dobite vstopnico in plec. Za konc bomo poslušali pa še Jamesa Lega s komadom Have to get it on.
Intervju Radija Študent.